Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to another service from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We always want to remind you about the Zoom fellowship that happens right after this. So you can join us if you are not used to joining us and you get the e-newsletter or the weekly update. You have the links in there to join us after, and you get to see your Unity friends and hear music and, you know, just have discussion about the talk or whatever is happening in the world right now. So please join us for that, and we look forward to seeing you there. And we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm Unity's mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us, far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have our daily word reading for today, Sunday, May the 2nd. The key word is grace, and the affirmation is the grace of God is alive in me. I don't need to do anything to earn or deserve the grace of God because God is always present, mine to claim in any situation. Grace dawns in my awareness as soon as I move beyond the limits of my human understanding. I let go and let the peace, love, wisdom, and strength of God fill me, lift me, and guide me. In both the challenging and the ordinary moments of life, the grace I give and the grace I receive keep the awareness of God in my heart. During a tough conversation, a thought comes to mind that helps reestablish harmony. As I mull an important decision, a fresh insight clarifies my thinking. Feeling overwhelmed by my to-do list, I feel renewed energy and move forward with strength and enthusiasm. In these moments and more, I discover grace anew. And the scripture is John 1:16, and it reads, "From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." Amen. And now we will have the message with Reverend Butch.
So we're going to continue our journey into this idea of to heal is to correct our perception. And that's really a big deal for us, to be able to see beyond what appears to be there. You know, of course, we're all affected by whatever we are struggling with because that is our reality this time. But what we're trying to get into is that the fact that we have another reality available to us, but it's really a challenge for us to get to that reality. So we keep digging at this subject of awakening from, you know, many different avenues. And the title again, To Heal is to Correct Our Perception, is very broad in its scope in terms of what it is you want to heal. You know, so when you say to heal is to correct our perception, each one of us would say, well, I would like to heal this, I would like to heal that. All right, so healing is the key to living in faith, peace, perfect health, prosperity, and harmony. And so often when the question is asked, you know, what do you want, right? A lot of us will say, well, we want world peace, which is also broad in its scope because it encompasses all that is occurring in the world that we perceive is not being peaceful, right? So there would be a wide variety of responses to the question, what would you, you know, what would world peace look like to you, okay? Well, what would world peace be like for you? You know, how would you describe it? If somebody says, okay, now, well, this, a guy came with a magic wand. If you saw the movie with Will Smith and he was a genie that came out of the bottle and he gave you a wish and you said, I want a wish for world peace. And he says, well, what does that look like? You know, could you describe it? All right. Which leads to the next question. Are you experiencing the peace you want in the world within yourself? Okay. So when we say we want world peace, are we experiencing that peace we say we want within ourselves? So therein would lie our dilemma. That is, wanting conditions to occur outside of us that we have not yet achieved inside of us. And as the song goes, let there be peace on earth, and what? You can say it with me. Let it begin with me. So the conditions for faith, peace, love, joy, they're an inside job, okay? The outer world cannot become different until we have collectively become different, all right? It's something that must happen within us first. And to paraphrase St. Augustine, this is what he expressed. He says, we travel to marvel at the heights of the mountains, at the huge waves of the sea, at the long courses of rivers, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motion of the stars. But we pass by ourselves without wondering and trying to discover what is there within me that is marvelous. Okay. So this is the question we are continuously exploring every week in these lessons. And we profess, you know, in every lesson that consciousness is the gateway for each of us to discover the answer to these questions about ourselves. Right? But even with all of our study and explanation, do we understand what consciousness is? That idea, again, if a child says to you, well, explain to me what consciousness is. Could you explain it? Okay. And, you know, the other is, how did it come to be? And what impact is it having on my life? All right. Now, in the book From Science to God by Peter Russell, he asks this question. Now, again, this is very scientific, so those of you with scientific minds might really enjoy this. This is what he says. How did hydrogen, the simplest of elements, evolve into creatures such as ourselves, able to reflect upon the immensity of the cosmos, understanding its functioning, even studying the mathematics of hydrogen? How did a transparent, odorless gas become a system that could become aware of itself? In short, how did we become conscious? Okay. Now, you know, I like to always try to go to scripture. So we take that scientific idea and we go to scripture. You know, in comparison, we'll find out this well-known verse in Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed Adam's body from the dust of the ground and breathed into it the breath of life, and he became a living person. So you begin to wonder, was it consciousness that God breathed into Adam? All right, now think about that for a minute. You know, was it consciousness that God breathed into Adam? Now, as Nigel Codler stated, he says, the aim isn't to degrade mind to matter. I'm sorry, to... Oh, sorry. Oh, thank you, Pam. Mm-hmm. It wasn't quite fading in. So if the aim... Try it again. All right. The aim isn't to degrade mind into matter, but to upgrade the properties of matter to account for mind, and to tell how from the dust and water of the earth's natural forces conjured a mental system capable of asking itself, why do I exist? Okay? So, again, thus the question to be pondered is, did consciousness develop as a result of the human species becoming a living being, or did consciousness already exist and simply take on the different perspectives and perceptions of the individual according to each of our experiences? Okay. So again, the question was it conscious that God breathed into Adam? And that's kind of a new concept. Think about that. Was it consciousness that God breathed into Adam? And if this is so, then that would mean that consciousness is God, and that we are individual expressions of God consciousness on a spiritual journey to discover the totality and reality of who we truly are. Okay. Now, we know that Jesus said in John 17:5, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So this statement indicates that consciousness has eternal existence. If the basic definition of consciousness is a sense of awareness, the sense of knowing, then it is very likely that it is consciousness that brought about the matter we call our body, and it is the driving force behind the experiences that provide us with the opportunity to wake up and discover in truth who we really are. Okay. Now, I know that was a little mind-boggling, but again, if you go back through it and think about it, you know, we're trying to understand the dynamics of this being we call ourselves, you know. So why was it important to go through that explanation? Well, it's because there is so much going on in our lives, individually and collectively, and so much uncertainty about what is to come, okay? So, I mean, I think many of us are getting excited about it. It looks like things are going to go back to normal. But will we ever go back to normal, all right? So like I say again, there is so much uncertainty about what is to come. So to be able to transcend the uncertainty, it is imperative that we learn how to live the conscious life, which is the ability to see beyond appearances, okay? So this means it is imperative that we come to realize the importance of the circumstances, people, and experiences that come into our lives to provide us with opportunities to become more conscious and to live a life where we pay attention to and ponder the deeper meaning and purpose of the circumstances and people and experiences in our lives, okay? So the conscious life is you're always thinking. You're always open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. The idea being that God's living spirit of truth that comes into our mind gives us greater awareness of the truth of what is really occurring in our lives, okay? So let me just say that again. We always want to be, that's the sort of the simplicity of all of that I just said. We always want to be aware of God's living spirit of truth coming into our mind, okay? That will give us the clarity we need to understand what is happening in our lives and the experiences that we're happening. It also gives us the patience and the courage and the faith to know that what is coming will be for our higher good. Okay, so the 23rd Psalm teaches us to express, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because thou art with me. Okay, so this psalm is basically teaching us how to move prayerfully as opposed to fearfully. Let me say that again. The purpose of the 23rd Psalm is to teach us how to move prayerfully as opposed to fearfully through the numerous circumstances that challenge us in this life experience. So healing comes from moving through your life prayerfully. Let me say that again. Healing comes from moving through your life prayerfully. It's an experience I had recently, an experience one of my dear friends had recently. We were talking about it last night, and we were saying that the outcome of what we went through was powerfully positive. They were both healing, physical healing experiences, right? So, and the reason why we're saying that we believe that they were positive, they were positive outcomes, is from the idea of being prayed up. Okay, we were talking about being prayed up because these are things that we didn't even know that were possible, that were going to happen. Okay, so the idea of being prayed up is the idea of healing comes from moving through your life prayerfully. You're always in this idea of prayer, that knowing that God is in charge of my life and affairs, all right? That means things that I know about and things I have no idea are possibilities that may come up, okay? So a prayer consciousness helps us to hear and see the wonders of God working in our lives, while a fear consciousness causes us to become emotionally sucked into life's circumstances, clouding our ability to understand the profound awakening the circumstances are providing for us, okay? And it is our work to learn how to use every experience to shake us and awake us to the truth of our being, okay? So the answer to the question, when are things going to change, okay? When are things going to get better, all right? And I'm talking about in all of the circumstances that we are seeing on the news and struggling with, when are things going to get better, when are things going to change, boils down to the individualized question, when am I going to change, okay? And lately, that's what's really been on my mind, that, you know, we're saying, well, change is taking so long to come, it's so slow. And I think it's because we are all outer directed. We want things out here to change. And this is what I talked about last week, while kind of keeping everything in here the same. And that can't happen. Out here will not change until we collectively change in here. So a good question to continuously ask yourself is, am I walking through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing evil, or am I walking through the valley faithfully, knowing that thou art with me? Okay, that's a question we can ask ourselves. And if I'm at least conscious enough to realize that I am fearing evil, let me say that again, if I am at least conscious enough to realize that I am fearing evil while knowing that there is an alternative, that's a good starting point on a journey to awakening. You get what I'm saying? Okay? So if you be, you know, because a lot of times we're in fear and we're not thinking about the fact there's an alternative, that God is in charge of my life and affairs, that there's another mindset that I can turn to. That's what I'm talking about here. But when we get to the point of saying, yeah, I am fearful, all right? And I know that, but I know that there's an alternative, all right? The knowing is at least a starting point to awakening, into the journey of awakening. And we all know that the much used phrase, if I do not know that I'm asleep, I will not try to wake up, okay? So what I'm saying with this is that if you at least realize you're asleep, and being in fear is being asleep, okay? Let me just say that again. Being in fear is being asleep, okay? But it's sort of like when you have, if you ever had a dream and all of a sudden you realize that you were dreaming, it might be a scary kind of a dream or something that's kind of troubling you, but then you realize that you are dreaming, all right? That's sort of what we're talking about here, that you are fearing something, but you realize that you are in fear and you know that there's an alternative, okay? Just like if you're in a dream, the alternative is try to wake up, all right? And it's the same kind of the same concept here, all right? So, and therein lies the greatest challenge to bringing about significant change in the world. Most of us believe we are already awake, okay? When we find ourselves saying, oh, this is the way things should be, okay? We're making those statements as if we're already awake, okay? And we, you know, you've heard it said many times that the Bible is the depiction of the evolution of humankind's understanding of God. So I bring that up again to say that this idea of thinking we're already awake and we know the answer, okay, that's not, you're kind of stopping your evolution by thinking that you know the answer, that you are awake, all right? You know, this idea of the Bible being the evolution of humankind's understanding of God, it is the doorway to learning how God can work miracles in our lives when we become willing to be healed of our own perceptions, okay? So in essence, the Bible is a story of the evolution of humankind moving from human consciousness trapped in perception to God consciousness that realizes that the possibilities are infinite, okay? If I can just get myself to be open and receptive, say it with me, to God's living spirit of truth. So now let's go to scripture to gain some additional insight into this concept of consciousness and how it came to be. Okay? So in the allegory of the creation of Adam and Eve, we expressed how they were created out of the consciousness of God. Remember, God created this living being and then breathed into him, right? And we're saying that breath could have been the consciousness of God that was breathed into the living being. So they were, Adam and Eve were God conscious, okay? That's all they knew, is they were God conscious. At that time, and remember, this is all an allegory, there was nothing else. But an experience occurred that caused them to fall asleep and dream the experiences of lower levels of consciousness, all right? Filled with fears and filled with joys, but never really knowing what will happen to cause us to be fearful or what will happen to cause us to be joyful, all right? We consider ourselves, oh, you know, when so-and-so happens, I'm going to really be happy. You know, when I can start taking cruises again, I'm going to really be happy. I'm going to be joyful, okay? But those are all, you know, just predictions, right? Remember, we always say happiness is not a goal, it's the journey, all right? So what I'm saying here is you don't know what's going to happen in your life that's going to cause you to be fearful, and you don't really know what's going to happen in your life to make you feel joyful. right? These are all predictions that we make. And this uncertainty of not really knowing is the nature of the Adam dream, okay? So the Bible stories explain the paths we can take to awaken to the true reality that we have the consciousness that God is within us, right? Now, it takes us through every phase of awakening. As you're moving through the Bible, it's taking you through every phase of awakening. It's just like when Paul said, you know, we have this Lord, I'm saying it's not verbatim, but we have this Lord who went through everything we went through, but, you know, without sin. In other words, he didn't get trapped in it. So the Bible is taking us through every phase of awakening, including how to enter into our true mind, which is the mind of Christ, okay? So let's go to Scripture to study one of the stories demonstrating how to make the shift from human consciousness to God consciousness. And the Bible is a series of stories about folks working their way through life's many challenges just as we do. Now, their customs and their times throughout history may be different. Their technology and their commerce may not be as sophisticated as ours today. But in many ways, their psychological and emotional challenges are the same. Okay? So from a metaphysical approach, we can say that the stories in the Bible are allegories. But if you think about it, so are our stories. Okay? Now, on Friday, we had a virtual farewell party for a colleague who is retiring after 45 years service at the college. Very important and personal person in my life. 1980, 40-something years ago, when I first started at college, she's the one who hired me and then mentored me for, you know, all the years that I've been there. But it was incredible to have here so many people with deep, compassionate expression of what this person meant in their lives, all over the college, okay? And even the president came on, who doesn't really know her, because the president's fairly new, and she says, I have not met you, but I've definitely heard your legacy, all right? I've heard much about you and what you've done for this college. So the depth of compassion and thankfulness that was expressed by everyone was incredible to hear. But this is a perfect example of how the impressions of our lives create the allegory or parable of our life, okay? So, and when we are gone from this earthly experience, the only thing that is left are the memories which become the allegory of our life, right? So in our quest to discover how to live more consciously awake, thus allowing the shift from human consciousness to Christ consciousness, let's look at the allegorical story of Abraham and Sarah. Now, I'm not going to interpret all the characters. I'm just a couple of characters I'm going to interpret. So Abraham and Sarah, who had a son, Isaac, in their late years, Isaac married Rebekah, and they had Esau and Jacob. Okay, so we all know the story. Then there is the betrayal of Esau by Jacob and his mother to trick the ailing Isaac into giving Esau's birthrights to Jacob. Right? Now, from a metaphysical perspective, this whole betrayal story is symbolic of the transferring of directive control from one part of our unfolding consciousness to another, from the body, Esau, to the mind, Jacob, okay? So it is written in the Old Testament interpretation manual, and we're going to go through this slowly because this is a large interpretation. It says, during the different phases of our growth, the dominant power and directive control does not remain fixed and stationary, okay? So what is happening, the dominant power in our mind is moving from one aspect of our being to another, okay? But is translated to different centers within us according to the pattern of our development. Now, the different centers, as we know, if you think about the 12 powers, this dominant power is moving through. So one time you may have strong faith, another time it might move to love, another time moves to wisdom. It's moving through our being, helping to shape the different or quicken the different areas within us. This helps give greater diversity to our unfoldment, Okay, so now you're unfolding in many different aspects of yourself. Eventually, the power of control will be held in perfect balance when we achieve Christ consciousness expressed by Jesus, okay, which is the true spiritual awareness. So this is why Jesus, as you heard me share before, was calling all these disciples to his service, because each disciple he called was a quickening of something within himself, okay? So he called a disciple, that disciple became the essence of quickening a certain power within himself, okay? But until that is achieved, dominant power will probably continue to be centered mostly in our intellect, represented by Jacob. Jacob does not represent the perfect working of the intellect, but does illustrate a great step forward. Okay, so like I said, that was a mouthful, but hopefully that gives us kind of an understanding of the dynamics that are happening inside of us. And again, these talks are, you know, they're not like learning, you know, mathematics or economics or, you know, history or whatever, because it's talking about things that we're saying is happening within us, so we not, might not be able to say to ourselves, oh yeah, I knew that was going on, all right? So it's sort of like we're trying to understand the spiritual side of ourselves. We have a good understanding of the intellectual, personal side of ourselves, but we're trying to understand what is happening within us spiritually. Now, from here, we move into the story of Jacob going to Haran. Yeah, Pam and I were talking about this word is H-A-R-A-N, and we kept saying Haran, but when we looked at pronunciation, it says Haran. Okay, so Jacob goes going to Haran to seek a wife according to his father Isaac's wishes, okay? So the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary says that Haran is an exalted state of mind wherein truth is lifted up in consciousness and the individual is strengthened in his or her determination to go forward, to go towards fuller spiritual enlightenment and upliftment, okay? Honey, if you could just go to the next slide, okay? So Jacob, okay, who represents the mental phase of our being, Esau representing the physical, okay, takes an inner journey to a place within himself, okay, represented by Haran. Now, where he will be strengthened in his determination to go on to fuller spiritual enlightenment and upliftment. Okay. So now, an example of what that would look like in our lives is you're confronted by one of many life's challenges, whatever it might be for you. So instead of traveling outside of yourself into the jaws of the dilemma, you take a trip within to Haran. You do that by simply becoming still and turning your attention away from the disturbance and toward the power in the presence of the divine within you. Okay, so again, scripture is explaining it in terms of a allegory, okay, or you might say a metaphor, but you know, this is what basically is happening. Now, this secret is to achieving this higher state of consciousness. You know, this is the secret to achieving a higher state of consciousness, is that when things are happening in our lives, we have a tendency to go to those lower thought processes that become wrapped up and frightened or whatever within those outer dynamics that are happening. So the secret to achieving higher consciousness is not to remain in states of lower consciousness, if that makes sense. Again, I'm not saying this is easy, okay? But that's the process. So when things are happening in our lives, instead of going and getting caught up in those things, we want to turn within and make sure we keep going to higher states, all right, as Jacob did when he went to Haran, all right? Now, when you become still, turning your mind away from the negative influence of people, circumstances, or even your own negative fearful emotions, you become able to enter into a state of being that transcends and negates the troubling circumstances. And in this state of consciousness, your mind automatically travels to, upward to a higher place in consciousness. All right. So let me repeat. Okay. The practice of becoming still and turning your attention to the power and presence of the divine, okay, that is within you, causes your mind, Jacob, to move to a place, Haran, that will strengthen your determination to go onward towards the fuller spiritual enlightenment and upliftment. Okay. So, because our existing paradigm right now is centered in material reality rather than spiritual reality. And that, you know, that's where we are. Okay. That's our existing paradigm. All right. We're centered in material reality rather than spiritual reality. So the tendency of our personal self is not to become still, but rather is to become busy by moving towards the outer dilemma with ego guidance instead of spiritual guidance. So it's not to say that you don't eventually move towards whatever that thing is that you need to deal with. It's saying you first take the time, remember you're living a prayerful life, to enter a state of consciousness, the higher state that Jacob went to go to this higher state of mind, where you receive God's living spirit of truth. You receive that guidance, all right? And however, when we consciously practice becoming still, even in the midst of life's challenges, our natural tendency will be to move towards this higher state because that is what our practice has been, okay? So where we've been unconsciously practicing going to lower states, we want to become conscious of always going to higher states. And if you think of the scripture in Exodus 3:5, where God said to Moses, take your sandals off your feet for the place where you stand is holy ground, is expressing that when you come to God in prayer, you do not want any material thought, which is represented by sandals or shoes. Some of them say take your shoes off your feet, others say take the sandals off your feet. So when you come to God in prayer, you don't want any material thought happening, okay? You're not taking this thing that you're going through to God. You're coming to God because you're looking for the guidance as to how to get through whatever it is that is in front of you. The Father knows what you want even before you ask, right? So there's no need for you to delineate all the things that you want God to do, okay? We want the clarity of mind that when we receive that guidance, God's living spirit of truth, we can move forward with it, okay? So in the silence, we are striving for a pure relationship with spirit, free of our own perceptions. So when we have a chance to make a living by living the conscious life, okay, or remaining deeply asleep in the Adam dream, we have to ask ourselves, which do I want to do, okay? Do I want to stay in the Adam dream, or do I want to live the conscious life? So we cannot wake up ourselves. We can't wake ourselves up. How many of you have been in a dream and you tried to wake yourself up? You know, you knew you were in a dream. You're trying to wake yourself up. No matter what you did, you could not get yourself out of that dream. Okay, so we can't wake ourselves up. But we can position ourselves through prayer and meditation to be awakened by the Holy Spirit. Okay, life will continue to intrigue us with dramatic situations that keep us in the Adam dream. It's going to keep happening. But through your inner ability to remain still, you will learn how to see through the drama and into the innate divine potential, into your innate divine potential. And to quote John Steinbeck, an American author and the winner of the 1962 Nobel Prize in Literature, as to what this may look like, okay, let's just take a look at what he says. He says, a kind of light spread out from her, and everything changed color, and the world opened out, and a day was good to awaken to, and there was no limits to anything, and the people of the world were good and beautiful, and I was not afraid anymore. Okay, and that's where we want to be. So I leave you with this affirmation to ponder. From Science of Mind magazine, Monday, it's actually tomorrow, May 3rd, it says, I am grateful for the underlying good that is the foundation of my life. And so it is. Amen. All right. And now we'll have meditation with Miss Pamela.
And so as we get ready to prepare for meditation, let's just clear our minds and not think about what you're going to do after this, what you need to do for next week, what happened yesterday. Just let it all go. Let's begin by taking in a deep breath and exhaling fully. Once again, breathe in deeply, exhale fully. A focused breath in and slowly let it go. In the stillness of God's presence, we turn from all outer concerns to that holy place within. We become aware of God as a living, loving presence within us. We allow our minds to become quiet and peaceful, and our hearts open and receptive to God's healing love. With your eyes closed and your breathing rhythmic, we pray and meditate in faith, love, and encouragement. In this loving awareness, I invite you to allow the words spoken to be the words of your own heart. In Proverbs 12:18, it reads, "The tongue of the wise brings healing." There is great power in words. At times, it is as if the very cells of my body are listening to what I have to say. I feel the words throughout my body as I say them, and I feel their effect linger in my body long after I have spoken them. So, I make a conscious effort to speak words that are messages of healing to my heart and lungs, to my joints and muscles, to my nerves and digestive system. I feel a response as I encourage my heart to beat in perfect rhythm and my lungs to take in oxygen and send it to all areas of my body. My message to and for myself is one of health and healing and has as its source the Spirit of God within me. I bless my body and soul with healing words of life and give thanks for the blessed results. So now we, without the sound of my voice, let's enter into the silence where we may continue being grateful for our healing right here and right now. We thank you, gracious Spirit, that you have heard our prayers this morning, and you have answered them as you always do. We give thanks, dear Lord, for the gift of God's loving presence that heals and restores and is with us in the midst of all experiences of our lives. We now say Amen in the name and nature of Jesus Christ, our elder brother and way-shower, and so it is. Slowly come back to your surroundings. And know that the Unity Center of Light is always here for you. Amen.
That was wonderful. All right. This is the time where we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our individual lives to flow into our spiritual home. We ask you to hold your offering in your mind, in your heart, in your hand, and just think about the instrument that you are of God's good flowing through you, blessing your life, blessing your spiritual home, blessing all that is wonderful in your life. So with that in mind, let's say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
And so it is. Amen. And you have light notes, okay?
So we invite you to join us each weekday of your choice for Keeping the High Watch prayer call for a 15-minute prayer pause at 4 p.m. During that time, we go within and we reconnect with Spirit and one another. We use silence, contemplation readings, affirmative prayers, and more. We shift our focus from the chaos of the outer to the peace of God within. Check your weekly update for the link. The book club's next book discussion for June the 13th is called Begin Again by Eddie Gloud. This book is a powerful study of how to bear witness in a moment when America is called to do the same. The group meets from 1 to 3 p.m. Please see the link in your updates. And that is it for our announcements.
All right.
And now we're going to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say it together. We're going to say it with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together.
I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right, and now we're going to say our
prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So we've had a wonderful time bringing this message to you today. This service to you, and again, we hope you're going to join us in Zoom right after this. Otherwise, have a wonderful week and enjoy this great weather. It's still a little windy, but enjoy this great weather. We will see you soon. Bye-bye.